I'll ask Tom to come. We've got a different preacher this morning. You guys didn't know that. You didn't expect that. Didn't see that coming today. So Tom is going to come and share with us from his heart something that the Lord has laid on his heart beginning last Sunday after the Easter message. And so Tom, come and share God's word with us.
Good morning. All right. As you know, I'm not much of a preacher. I don't know how to use a microphone, so anyways. Yeah, last week, the resurrection, it's a wonderful day. Easter is a wonderful way to celebrate the remembrance of how Christ had died for us and how he's redeemed us through his Son. And I was reading scripture last week, and I was in Luke 24, at the two disciples that had walked to the road to Emmaus. And God put on my heart something. And what's been on my mind this past week has been God's word. What has been on your mind? And we seem like every Sunday we celebrate Easter. Every year we celebrate it. We go and we have food. Be with family. And we leave that day, and it seems that the memory of Christ and what he's done for us last week is in the past. And this past week, I reflected on my life. And on Tuesday, Darren had dropped his car off at my house. I was supposed to take it to Wednesday to get it fixed. His exhaust sounded pretty loud. Drove it down the road, and people were looking at me, walking their dogs. So I had to take it to work and fix it. But on Tuesday night when he dropped off his car, and I was talking to him and Deborah and Martha, and we were all standing in the entryway. I went to the couch and started watching TV. I fell asleep. And I woke up around 12 o'clock, and I went upstairs to bed. And usually I go to bed, I'll lay face down, and I pray. And I was praying, and God was working on my heart. Fell asleep. 12:30 in the morning, woke back up. God's putting these things in my head. He's speaking to me. This happened one other time to me. I rolled back over in bed and fell asleep. I'd ignored it. This time I got up. I wasn't going to ignore it. Went down. Spencer and Carlos were like surprised to see me. They're doing homework in the kitchen. I walk down and I get out and a cup of coffee. I sit down and I start opening my laptop and I start typing. God was speaking to me. And he put on my heart this message, this passage in Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. Because what he put on my heart is that even though these disciples knew who Christ was, they walked with him, they still had struggles. I want to tell you about the last year. This last year of my life has been very difficult. I've been sick the most this past year. I've had 6 or 7 sinus infections. I've had the flu. My daughter got married this past week to a wonderful man, Jeremy, over here. We had the wedding, my wife's birthday. I'm expecting a grandchild in the near future. There's a lot of things that are on my mind that have been taking my focus away from God. I've been still walking with God, but I haven't been focusing on him. I haven't been focused on what he's done for me, how he speaks to me. And that's the struggles that I have. We all have these struggles in life. We all have these struggles. In my struggles, some of them might be good. I'm expecting a grandchild, that's a good thing. My daughter got married, that's a good thing. Got a wonderful son-in-law and in-laws, that's a good thing. But there are a lot of not-so-good things that happen to us in life when we struggle. No matter what your issue is, no matter what you're struggling with, being a health issue, physical issue, relationship issue, financial issue, car issue, God is always near you. He will always be near you. We just have to open our minds and focus on him. Today, when we talk about the seven-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, I want to point out a few things that I saw in the scripture. First of all, I talk about the two disciples. The two disciples of Christ are walking along the road. This is after of his crucifixion, after he was buried. They've already known about the women seeing the tomb empty. They're on the road to Emmaus. All of a sudden, a man comes up and intervenes in their conversation, and he's wondering what they're talking about. And these disciples look at him, they go, "Where have you been? Have you not been in Jerusalem? This whole land knows about what's happened." They were kind of like wondering why this man that they're talking to is so oblivious to what happened. Then he'd go on to talk about how the rulers and the priests of the kingdom had taken him and scourged him and crucified him, and how he is now dead. And then they tell him about how wonderful of a man he was, how wonderful of a prophet that he was. He was a man of good word and good deed. He did teachings and healings throughout the whole land. And they reflected on that. And obviously these men have been with him for a long time because they knew a lot about Christ and a lot of things that he had taught when he was walking amongst the towns, teaching and healing. They obviously were with him. Well, if you think about today, it's kind of like today. It's an election year, all right? It's like you're walking over by the water cooler and you're talking politics, and someone comes up and asks you a question, "Who's Trump?" Like, what, are you kidding me? He's in the news every 3 seconds. You don't know who he is? That's kind of how they felt. This man that came up to him and asked them, "What's going on? What are you guys so downcast for?" So we're going to read Luke 24, verse 13 to 33. "Behold, the two of them were going that very day to the village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you are walking?' And he stood still looking at and said, one of them named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things which have happened here in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in the sight of God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel.'" Indeed, besides all this, on the third day since these things happened, but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said to him that he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman also had said, but to him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer those things and to enter his glory? Then beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, he explained to them things concerning himself and all the scripture. And they approached the village where they were going and acted as though they were not going further. But they urged him to stay. 'Stay with us, for it is getting towards evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So when he went and stayed with them, he reclined at the table with them. He took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the gathering of the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen, and he has appeared to Simon. Mankind today is not much different than mankind 2,000 years ago. We allow things in our life to take away our focus. We allow things to take our thoughts and stuff. We just, like, dwell on our thoughts and the things around us. The 7-mile journey, to me, brings three things to life. The first thing, we all have blindness. All of us. The second thing is Christ is always near. And the third thing is Christ can make you see again. He can heal your blindness. As I said, the two disciples obviously knew Christ when they were in Jerusalem. Most likely witnessed the crucifixion at its distance somewhere along the line. Were walked and were taught by him. They had seen miracles with him. Then why were they downcast and saddened as they walked along the road to Emmaus? Something had happened to them that they were unprepared for. In this case, someone they cared so much about and loved just had been crucified and is now dead. Their hopes of an immediate redeemed Israel had vanished. Their earthly kingdom was gone because Christ was dead. They were struggling in their faith as they walked along that road to Emmaus. They should have been prepared, but they weren't. Why weren't they prepared? Well, they weren't prepared because they were focused not on Christ and God's word, but they were focused on today, the events of today, not the future. Christ had said to them, as he was taught to many times over, I'm sure, all the things that he had to do on this earth before he was killed, all the prophecies, he shared with them before. But they still had been struggling with their faith. One disciple was named in this passage Cleopas. And I did some research on this week. I was like, oh, this is like the only time he's mentioned? No, he's mentioned in other parts in John 20:19-25. Cleopas and Cleopas, depending on how it was written down at the time and how it was transferred, it was Aramaic. Cleopas and Cleopas are the same person. So it says in John 19:25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his sister, wife, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So his wife was there watching the crucifixion. He probably wasn't too far away, probably in hiding somewhere, trying not to be noticed because he was scared. But these two disciples were walking with Christ, they were disciples, they were being taught by him. I'm sure God's word had come to them. In Mark 9:31, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. I'm sure they were there when he had said this to them. In John 2:19, when Jesus was going through the temple courts and all the money changers were in the temple courts, and they were cheating the people, selling doves and stuff like that, Jesus overturned them and he threw them all out of the temple courts. And they asked him, what kind of authority do you have to do that? And Jesus answered him, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Of course, he's talking about his body. So he's giving authority. He's talking about future events that are going to happen that these disciples should have known about. And in Matthew 26, when Jesus was on trial, they brought forth Jesus after they arrested him. I'm sure some of his disciples were in the crowd during this time when they were trying to bring forth evidence against Christ for his crucifixion. And they thought two men had come up and they said, as evidence against Christ, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. And they said, blasphemy. And they handed him over to Pilate to be crucified. I'm sure they were there. Christ said himself that he was the Son of God. He said he was going to be handed over. He said himself that he would rebuild the temple, his body, in 3 days. And he said he would rise again. So why were they blind? Why were these disciples blind? They were blind because they lost their focus. They were focused on the day's offense of today. They were focused on their feelings. They were focused on the redemption of Israel. They weren't focused on Christ. Christ's word. Today we fall into the same pit. Today we lose our focus. So many things in this world can make us, our minds go everywhere else except where it's supposed to be. And that's where my life's been in the last year. Focused on other things. Focused on my pain. Focused on my illnesses. Focused on my suffering. Focused on the events of the day. They weren't focused on Christ. Are yours? That's what Christ said to me this past week. I wasn't supposed to come up here and preach today. And I called Darren on Tuesday after I had written 3.5-4 pages in an hour and 15 minutes. I think God's speaking to me. I think I got to speak. And this is what God put on my heart. So the first thing is that we are all blind. All of us, we are all blind. The second thing is that even though we are blind, Christ is always near. He's near to us. He's right there. He's in our presence. Even though we might not feel Christ is present in your life, just like those disciples, this story tells me one thing. This 7-mile journey didn't just take a couple of minutes. 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The roads are sandy, dirty, stony, probably rugged terrain. A 7-mile walk in rugged terrain would take a lot longer than 15, 20 minutes. It would take a lot longer than a couple hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours, maybe all day. Christ, during this whole time, they didn't even know he was there with them. Christ was walking with them the whole way, teaching them about scriptures, teaching them about the prophecies, teaching them about why Christ had to die. And they still didn't see it. They thought Christ was just another person that was wondering about what they're talking about until he started opening up God's word. He started chastising them. He tells them, you foolish people, slow to believe the prophets. Where's your heart? How did a person that didn't know anything about Christ all of a sudden know all about God's word, about all the prophecies? He was right there with them. He was with them not just for 10 minutes. He's with them the whole time. They didn't know it. The same with you and me. Christ is with us all the time. He's with us all the time. Just we don't know it. We don't focus on Christ being with us all the time. That's what just God told me this past week. Scripture has a lot to say about God's presence. In Psalm 139, I throw my Bible, but I can't read too well, so I'll just read it off the paper. I need my glasses. I'm getting old. Words are small. I have it printed on my paper. Psalm 139:7-8 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the Sheol, you are there. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He's there. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And Christ said with his own words, "Ask and it will be given to you," in Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. For everyone who finds and knocks, the door will be open." Christ is always near. We have to ask. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, the door will be open. Even though the disciples that walked on the road to Emmaus were saddened and downcast in spirit, Christ was always with them. He was with them because of their struggles. He knew their struggles. He knew that they were wavering in their faith. He was there to encourage them, to uplift them, to tell them there's more. Don't be so downcast on life. The same way he is with us today. The third thing is Christ can heal your blindness. Obviously, these two men were blind. God kept them blind. Christ kept them blind. The disciples who walked in Emmaus are blind until God wanted them to recognize him. Why? You would think that the Last Supper, when the apostles were sitting there, and when Christ broke the bread, you would think that that might have reminded them, these disciples, about the breaking of the bread, what Christ said at the table. But these disciples weren't with Christ at the Last Supper. These disciples were people that were in the crowd that he was teaching. They weren't there. So why did God open their eyes at that moment? Well, God opened their eyes at that moment because the whole time while they were on the road, God was having fellowship with them. He was having communion with them. God was teaching them his word. He was with them the whole time. They just didn't see it. And the moment they offered him to stay for the evening and eat, as soon as Christ took the lead, he sat down at the table, he broke the bread and gave it to them, their eyes were open. They already knew Christ. Christ was in their hearts. They just had the wrong focus. They were focused on today, today's events. They weren't focused on future events. That's why their eyes were open. The fellowship and communion they had with Christ the whole time they were on the road to Emmaus, that's why their eyes were open. You have to have fellowship and communion with him. You have to know him in order for him to be with you. He was with them, as I said, because they were wavering their faith. Their faith was weak. And that's why Christ chastised them. Remember the story in Luke 15 where Christ was talking to his disciples about just 100 sheep? If you have 100 sheep and one goes astray, that shepherd will go and leave the 99 to go find this one to bring them back to the fold. That's what was happening to these disciples. Once their eyes were open, they said to one another, "We should have known this was the Lord. Our hearts should have been on fire." But it wasn't until God allowed them to see who was speaking to them, who was walking with them. That's when God opened their eyes. When they had communion with him, when they were sitting down there in your quiet time, reading your scripture, focusing on Christ. Christ will speak to you. He's going to have communion with you. But you have to know him. In Matthew 11, Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." How do we take his yoke and learn from him? He's not present with us today. You take his yoke and learn from him from his word. That's how he teaches you. That's how he speaks to you. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We all will find rest for our souls if we know Christ. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light for us, because he's the one that sacrificed everything for us. Everything he did on the cross was for us. That's why his yoke is easy and his burden is light for us. Christian or not, we all have difficulties. Life is difficult. We'd be fooling ourselves. We go through life saying our life's perfect. We'd be fooling ourselves to say we have no problems. Not true. I'll be the first to admit, my life takes, and it's very difficult. This past year has been very difficult for me. It's taken my focus away from God. And we sometimes lose our way. But this scripture told me today and last week as I prepared for this message, Christ is always near. He's right there. Ask, seek, and knock. The door is right here around you. Christ is that far. He's right there by you. What are we doing? What are you doing? What am I doing with my fellowship and communion with Christ? What have you been doing for this past week? The resurrection was last week. Life went back to normal on Monday. So, what have you been doing? What have I been doing? What have we been doing about our communion with Christ? If you don't know Christ and you are seeking, are you wondering why you are here? Do you feel like the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Are you downcast, sad, and upset about life? No matter what it is. Does it seem like life is getting harder every day? It does for me. It's difficult. Life is hard. No matter where you're at in life, no matter where you are in your walk, no matter where you're focused at in life, what God has spoken to me this past week is, are you focusing on me? Are you having communion with me? Or are you walking around blind like the disciples on the road to Emmaus? This is why in John 3, when Nicodemus had come to ask Christ about, you know, being born again, later down in the chapter, in John 3, 17 and 18, Christ tells Nicodemus, right to his face, this is what he tells him, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe him stands condemned already. Because this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but the people love darkness instead of the light, and their deeds are evil. If we don't believe in God's Son, we're already condemned. But God's right with you everywhere you go. He's right next to you. All you have to do is seek. Ask, seek, and knock. He's there. He knocked on. I was seeking last week, and this is what he gave me this week. He knows your blindness. He is always near. He can make you see again. Open your eyes. Let him speak to you. Have fellowship with him. Have communion with him. You know, this came to about this past week. And you tell me 4 years ago, if I would have been able to speak in front of people like this, I'd say you're crazy. I'm just a mechanic. I know everything about a car. But God can use you. There's many people in this room that have many gifts, but we ignore our gifts because we have focus on other things in life. So that was what God put on my heart. So hopefully He'll put it on your heart also. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank You so much. Thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus, first and foremost, Lord. Without Him, we wouldn't be here. Your church wouldn't even be present here today, Lord. But we thank You so much for Your love, grace, and mercy that falls upon us each and every day. We thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for the lives we have and the freedoms that we have to choose about this wonderful country in the United States. But Lord, please give us the focus that You desire. Take our focus off of ourselves and off of our lives, and let us have fellowship, a closer fellowship and communion with You throughout the week. I ask not only for myself, Lord, but each and every person in this room, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would seek You more in their walk, more in their quiet time. And they would allow God to speak to them and open their ears and open their eyes and open their hearts to do Your will. This world is a horrible place, a horrible place. But You came for us, and we thank You. You are close to us. We thank You. You can heal our blindness, Lord, and we thank You for that. I pray, Lord, You would bless the remainder of our service and bless each and every individual here. If anybody does not know You, Lord, I ask them to seek for You. I ask them to knock on Your door, because You will answer. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.